On Wednesday nights, I've been teaching through the book of John. Different than on Sundays when I preach, I have 3 points, whatever. Wednesday nights, just go verse by verse and discuss what we come upon. All right, so that's what we're doing this evening. John chapter 11. And while you're turning there, just one announcement. This Saturday, we have our paint party. And we're wanting to, a lot of people said they're coming. If anybody else wants to come, please come. We want to get as much help as we can, because we want to paint the hallways and the kitchen at this point, as we get enough help, hey, we can get that all done. So we're praying for that, but looking forward to that Saturday. Remember, 10 a.m., and I'll make a post on social media just so that you'll have it. 10 a.m., we'll have donuts for you, and then I'll get lunch maybe like 12:30 maybe. We'll get lunch on Saturday as well. So we invite you to come join us, all right? Amen. Okay, we're in John chapter 11. And here we are, we're going to come upon a man named Lazarus, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Now question number 1, man, on your paper there, I said, who was sick? Now I know that's an easy question, but if you're wondering, I make these questions and I always have a reason for it. I'm just making sure we point out, who was sick? Everybody, who was sick? Lazarus. And I'm pointing that out because a lot of times people know the name, oh, Lazarus, but then they forget. Yeah, it's John chapter 11 is where we're going to read about the Lazarus account here. Okay? Lazarus. Verse number 2. "It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Now that actually happens in chapter 12. That hadn't even happened yet. But remember, John the Apostle is writing this, after these things happened. So here he is designating this Mary as the one who anointed Jesus' feet. Well, that happens in the next chapter. Okay, if you're like, did we read that yet? Not yet. Okay, that comes next. All right, verse 3. "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." All right, that's question number 2 on your papers. What was the purpose of the sickness? That the Lord could be glorified. Now, I know we're going to get into some hairy teaching there for some people. Lazarus was sick that the Lord might be glorified. Why? Because God was going to heal him, and it was going to, as we see, it's going to bring people to Christ because, oh, wow, look at this great miracle. So let's just park there for a moment here and talk about sickness. Why do people get sick, right? Because a lot of people ask that question. That's probably, I have a lot of conversations with people about spiritual things, as I hope you do. And that's probably the number one thing that I get. Is that probably the number one you get? Why do bad things happen to good people, right? That's probably the most common thing. Well, there's a lot we could take there. Okay, and if you have questions or comments, please raise your hand. But let me just give you a few things. Number one, we don't see the bigger picture as God does. Okay, that's number one. Number two, okay, if the Bible is right and there's a heaven and a hell that you'll live for eternity, well, if you're saved and then you die, guess what? You're in a much better place that you, like, I heard a comedian one time talk about Lazarus and he said this. Can you imagine being Lazarus? You're up in heaven. Like, oh man, my knees don't hurt anymore. My shoulders don't hurt anymore. Man, I'm on streets of gold. You know what I mean? Just like celebrating, like, this is great. And then he's like, and then the comedian said this. This isn't Bible, right? The comedian said, and then, Peter comes up. Hey, Lazarus, Jesus is calling for you. You got to go back. Really, Peter? Come on, And it was kind of a funny thing, but it pointed out the fact that heaven is a whole lot better than here, guys. So let's be honest. I know this is going to sound mean, but let me, hear me out. I have an amazing wife that I would hate, hate, hate to lose her. But if she, God forbid, okay, died and went to heaven, how selfish would I be to be like, I want her here, when heaven is much better? If the Bible's right. Now, if the Bible, okay, I get it. If people don't believe the Bible, I get it. But I'm just saying, if the Bible's right and she died and go to heaven, God didn't do anything bad, right? Because she's in a better place. Okay, I used an analogy one time with, I think it was in a sermon a long time ago. I had this big long rope, and I took it from somebody. I didn't come up with it. had this big long rope that was like 50 feet long. And it's like, if the Bible is true and we live for eternity, take that 50-foot long rope, and you live to be, say, 100, which not many people do, but even if you live to be 100 years old, in comparison to eternity, that part of your life is only this much of that rope, of that 50-foot long rope. And yet we're going to complain about something on this little tiny little piece? Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to get our mindset understanding that God is infinite and time is eternity, okay? Okay, and then there's another couple more things on that because I get this question a lot. That's why I want to spend some time here. Again, why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes we don't want to be mean and say it, but sometimes people bring it on themselves, right? I'm not trying to be mean. I do it to myself too. I've joked before where I'll wake up late and then I'm speeding and then I get caught by a cop and I get a ticket and I'm like, God, why did that happen? God's like, well, because you hit snooze 14 times. That's your fault, right? Like, that's your fault. That ain't my fault. That's not God. That's us doing dumb things, right? Okay, another thing to point out too, if you have these conversations, is that God intended life to be perfect, right? When he created Adam and Eve, he intended life to be perfect. But because they chose to sin, the entrance of sin came in and then they messed it up, right? It wasn't God. They messed it up. And the thing is, if we have a free will, now you can say, well, why did God give us a free will? Well, if we didn't have a free will, what would be the point of anything, right? What would be the point of anything? But if God gives us a free will, then we have to have the freedom to, if he stopped bad things from happening, that would essentially take away free will. You know what I mean? So you got to keep that in mind. And then the last point I'll make is you can fight the rules all you want. just like you can be mad at gravity all you want. But gravity exists whether you like it or not. You can be mad at God all you want for bad things happening, but that's how it goes. If you don't like it, well, I mean, you can argue, but what is it going to change? If you go off top of a big old building and jump off, you're going to fall and die, right? You can argue it all you want. I don't like the fact that I'll die if I jump off a big building. Argue it ain't going to change. So, okay, does that make sense? I hope that's helpful. I know that was just a really quick outline, but I get that question a lot, okay? Raise your hand if you've had that question. I'm sure some of you guys have. Thank you. Okay, I was going to say, why do bad things happen to good people? That happens all the time. Okay, all right, I hope that was helpful. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that's terrible. Yeah. Yeah. And these are tough questions. These are things that keep people back from coming to God. And I really believe some people are just angry at God, like, no matter what, right? But some people legitimately are just hurt, and they just need someone to help them through. You know, they really do. But when that happens, keep in mind, you know, number one, God didn't cause it, right? Let's just always be clear. God didn't cause it. Not that little kid didn't cause it either. But it's just the fact that our world is tainted by sin. That's what caused it. God didn't cause it. It's now you could say, well, he let it happen. Yes, he did. And he didn't cause it, but he did let it happen. I get that. But then that's when you go to eternity. If that child has a terrible, you know, period of time, that's terrible. It is. But remember that Christ went through the cross, so he understands. He went through some bad stuff, right? And he understands, like, yeah, it's terrible. And you know what? I believe that in heaven, well, the Bible teaches you can get rewards for certain things. And now this is my opinion, okay? Let me make that very clear. The Bible's clear that you can win rewards, crowns. You can win crowns and win rewards. Now I'm going to step over here into my opinion. I'm adding a little bit here. I hope you'll give me this freedom here. You can disagree if you want. But I believe that those who go through worse life here on earth, as a Christian I'm talking, okay? If they're a saved person and they go to heaven, if they live a worse life, not their own doing, okay, but because of the world, I believe that God gives them a little bit better of a mansion in heaven. You know what I mean? Now, I can't point to a Bible verse, okay? That's just Kurt talking here, all right? Like if someone in Saudi Arabia is a Christian and they get persecuted and killed for their faith, they're going to win rewards that you and I aren't going to win, and I believe their mansion's going to be a little bit better than ours, okay? Than like yours and I's that live in America, where it's not so bad, where we cry about being left out at lunch. You know, they're getting their head chopped off, and we cry that we didn't get invited to lunch to go, you know, with everybody. So, does that make sense? Any other questions or comments on there? Because that's a big one. I wanted to spend a little time there, because if you have these conversations, it's a road bump, you know, for people. Yeah. 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 Amen. Absolutely. In fact, thank you for saying that, because that just reminded me. I brought this up on Sunday when I preached, and I said, I'm so glad that God is in control, because we would mess up his plans. Okay? And I'm not going to say any names or anything, but I know somebody who, they went through like a bad divorce, and they were telling me like years and years later, man, I'm still angry, and you know, I got these, I just can't get over it. And I'm like, who are you with now? And they're like, oh, I love them. They're the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm like, let me ask you a question. If you didn't go through such a bad divorce, would that have driven you to this person? They're like, no, I probably would have tried to stay with, if I could say it like this, my baby mama. All right, if I could say that. Right, because, well, I have kids, I'll try and make it work, you know. I said, okay, well, maybe God went through that. Like, that was kind of rough, but you know what? He brought you to this beautiful person, beautiful, like, inside and out, I'm saying, right? And your life is amazing now because of that bad stuff you went through, right? And they were like, oh, wow, I never thought about it that way. So, yeah, very good, Sister Janet, very good. So, we never know. Yeah, Sister Shield. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The same reward as in heaven. I believe that's in reference to heaven, meaning if you've been saved your whole life, or you're 72 and you get saved, you're going to get heaven. But the Bible talks about rewards and loss of rewards. Not salvation, but rewards. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll suffer loss. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. No, amen. But, yeah, there's so... Okay, so I hope that was helpful. If you guys have any questions, I'll address anything as best I can. But I just wanted to park there for a minute, because I get that a lot, where people, that's something that they, that holds them back, you know, from, you know, coming to Christ sometimes. And I understand some people are just argumentative, and the Bible says avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Sometimes you just need to like, okay, I'm done with you. Not in a mean way, but be like, okay, and then move on. But sometimes people are legitimately searching, and they're broken, or they're hurt, and they need you. God wants to use you to get them past that. Okay, so please, you know, don't write people off if they say, why would God let bad things out? You know what I mean? Try and help them through that. Okay, we're on verse 5. Didn't get very far, do we? Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So that's question number 3. It says, after hearing of Lazarus being sick, what did Jesus do? He stayed 2 more days. Again, his plans are better than ours, right? He could have left and saved Lazarus before he died, but instead he waited 2 more days until Lazarus actually died, and then got him, you know, later, you know, after, which, by the way, was a bigger miracle, wasn't it? So a better plan for God, or a better plan from God. Okay, verse 7. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Okay, so question number 4. What does he call Lazarus? He calls him a friend, right? The Bible calls Abraham the friend of God, right? Isn't that neat to, how cool would that be if God's talking to one of the angels and says, hey, you know that Dan guy? That's my friend. You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of picture that. Like, I hope he's up there saying, you know that Kurt right there? That's my friend right there, you know? Amen. I like that. Okay, so that was question number four. All right, let's go to verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Okay, so I want to point out question number five. Jesus plainly states Lazarus is dead. What did the disciples think Lazarus was doing? Sleeping. You're like, okay, that was a dumb question. Why you point that out? Let me tell you why. Because people who say the Bible is full of contradictions, they'll point to silly examples like this. Oh, Jesus said he was sleeping. He said he was dead. He didn't raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus did say he was sleeping. But then in two verses later, he said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Right? So here's what I want us to learn. We always, always have to read the context. Right? If you just read verse 11, you would think that he was sleeping. And you would be like, Jesus didn't raise him from the dead. The Bible's a liar, right? But Jesus was clearly using that as an analogy. So listen, here's how you study the Bible. You always take it word for word what it says, unless it tells you it means something else. And in this case, you take it word for word. Okay, he did say he was sleeping. But then two verses later, it says he was dead, right? So again, take the Bible literally. But I'm pointing that out because some people will cherry pick one of these verses. They do that all the time with the Bible and say, see, the Bible contradicts itself. Well, not if you read the other verses around it. It clears things up, okay? Okay, verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Okay, that's question number six. How many days was Lazarus dead already? Four. I know some of these are easy questions. I get it. I'm just trying to walk us through the story here, okay? Did you guys hear Brother Joey sang that song a couple times ago? You know, when, how's it go? When he's 4 days late, he's still on time. That's talking about Lazarus, you know, the story of Lazarus. Okay, verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, there's no question here, but I want to stop for a second. This is a, if I could apply it to our lives today, right? We see here in Martha, a Christian who says, I believe the Lord's plan, but she just had a little bit of doubt, like she was struggling. Lord, I believe you. I believe that you have a plan, but if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. So, you know what? There's Christians like that today that, hey, it's not that they lost. It's not that they're, you know, turning against God. Sometimes they just have doubts. Sometimes they just struggle with their things. And you know what? That's when the body of Christ comes into play. We're supposed to what? Help them through those situations, right? That's the purpose of the body of Christ. That's why we're not supposed to stay home and without a church family, right? It's so that we have a body of Christ to help us through these tough situations, okay? All right, verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's question number seven. What was the name Jesus gave himself here? Resurrection and the life. And he meant that in multiple ways here. First of all, the first way he meant here is spiritually speaking. The Bible says you're dead, right? And you hath he quickened who were dead, right? It's in Ephesians, okay? So he's speaking spiritually here, but obviously we know he's going to raise Lazarus here. So, I mean, he's kind of relating it to that as well. Okay? All right, we all good? Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, remember what I said earlier? If God forbid he were to take CJ home, okay, to heaven, I'm saying, okay, I would be very terribly sad. But she didn't really die. If you're a Christian, you don't die. You just change places. Right? Like, that's really what the Bible teaches. The only way you die is if you don't accept Christ and you go to hell, you're forever separated from God. That's what death is. Separation from God. Okay? But if you're a Christian, you truly never die. You just are transported. Amen? So if, you know, God forbid CJ died, she's going to hate I keep using her dying in these examples, okay? But let's say God forbid CJ died, it would be almost like, let's say she went to, you know, Australia on a trip, and then I just didn't see her because she stayed over there for 30 years. Well, let's say 30 years later, I finally meet her in heaven. It's the same. It's literally, well, I mean, it's not literally the same, but it's kind of the same, right? Because she didn't cease to exist. She's just existing somewhere else. Amen? Okay. You guys are like, he's crazy tonight. What's wrong with him? All right, verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Isn't it great when people call him Master? Because it's like, that means like you're totally like, Lord, whatever you, I will follow you. Amen? All right, verse 29. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then look at verse 35, Jesus wept. All right, that's question number 8. What did Jesus do? He wept. That's the, you know, when I used to work with the teenagers, yeah, the shortest verse. When I worked with the teenagers, you know, at my previous church, you know, be like, hey, memorize a verse. They always pick that one. John 11:35, Jesus wept. I was like, man, why don't you pick a short one like rejoice evermore, right? Pray without ceasing, you know? But of course, that's the shortest one. So, but I wanted to point out there, Jesus had compassion. You know, some people don't think Jesus was fully human. He was fully God, and we can't fully understand it, guys, okay? But he was fully God, but also fully human. What do I mean by that? Some people think Jesus wasn't human, that he didn't hunger, and that he didn't thirst, and that he didn't have emotions, right? But he did. He hungered. The Bible says that. And he thirsty, you know, he was thirsty. He had compassion on people, and he wept. He was upset. Just like he went through. That's why in the book of Hebrews it says that he's been through everything like us. He can understand. We have not an high priest that can't be touched with our infirmities, but it was in every all points like us, tempted as we are. Right? He understands us. All right, verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. All right, and that's question number 8 on your paper, or I'm sorry, question number 9. Jesus said what he said so that people would what? They would believe that God sent him. Believe that God sent him. If you remember when I taught through chapter 9, chapter 8 and chapter 9, there were like, I don't know, 8 verses where Jesus said, I'm sent from him. He sent me, he sent me, he sent me, he sent me, you know, things like that. Did you have one, bro? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. 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 Amen. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And remember, when we get into 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, John says, you know, him who we've seen, heard, and handled with our hands. You know, so he touched Jesus. He saw him, heard him, and touched him. So, amen. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate that. All right, so verse 43. I have a few moments here. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And there you go, verse 45. Question number 10 on your paper. Many of the Jews did what? Believed on him. Yeah. Sometimes God does things in our lives to draw us to him. The Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. All right, I don't know if we're going to have time to finish this, so I'll let you take this home, but let me recap here for a moment. So you have two questions left. So now you have homework. I'm just kidding. I just don't want to collect the papers back. I figured you'd just take it with you. But basically what happens in the next verse, so go home and read it, all right? But they say, hey, if we don't do something about this, in fact, just read verse 48, and we'll close with that one. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. See, that's why the Jews decided to have Jesus crucified. Because they're like, if we don't do anything about this guy, everybody's going to follow and believe in him, right? So they had to get rid of him. And they thought the Romans ruled over them, right? So if they felt the people were believing in Jesus and thought he was going to rise up against Rome, which he wasn't going to, they misunderstood what he was doing. But anyways, the Romans would have saw it as a threat and would have came in and probably, you know, killed them all. Because that's what they did. Anytime there was like an uprising, the Romans would just come in and kill them all. If you can look in history, like that's what they did. And so that's what they're talking about here. We don't want the Romans to come in and take away our place and nation. That's what that verse says. Okay. So we'll close it out and take that with you. And in closing, we're going to have Brother John come forward. So our finances last week, we don't need to read through it all again.